Maputo, Mozambique, August 17th, 1982. Ruth First, the wife of the most prominent white leader of the anti-apartheid movement, is killed by a letter bomb. This tragic event was the result of her and her husband's efforts against the apartheid regime. In the years following her death, Slovo was not deterred and continued his fight against the Nationalist Party. In the years following, Joe became the first white member of the National Executive Council of the ANC. He went on to play a pivotal role in the negotiations to end apartheid and eventually became the first Minister of Housing in the newly democratically elected South African government until his death in 1995.
Despite Slovo's prominent role in the anti-apartheid movement, his life started in Europe. Slovo was born in 1926 in Obelaly, Lithuania, with the full name Josel Marshall Slovo to parents Anne and Wolf. Slovo had only one sibling, a younger sister named Raina. The Slovo family felt the strong currents of interwar European anti-Semitism. The Baltic area had historically been a center for anti-Semitism, and the Slovos decided to leave behind Lithuania to escape this climate. At the age of 9, Joe and the rest of his family left their old life behind for a new beginning in South Africa.
The Slovos became part of the poor immigrant community in Johannesburg. Wolf found work as a truck driver in the city while Joe attended school. Joe's education finished after Standard 6, the equivalent of finishing middle school in America, in 1941. That same year, Joe started work as a dispatch clerk with the SA Druggists, a government pharmaceutical organization. By 1942, his radical political beliefs had started to emerge as he helped organize a national strike with the labor union he belonged to, the National Union of Distributive Workers. Soon, he had joined the South African Communist Party. When World War II broke out in Europe, Slovo left his position to volunteer with the Allies. He survived the war, and in 1949, he married Ruth First, the daughter of Julius First, the South African Communist Party treasurer.
Some of Joe Slovo's first contact with the anti-apartheid movement occurred at the University of Witwatersrand, where he was a classmate of Nelson Mandela's at the law school there. In his autobiography, Mandela remembers Slovo's sharp, incisive mind, strong belief in communism, and even his raucous parties. In 1950, Slovo graduated from law school. That same year, both he and his wife were among those banned under the Suppression of Communism Act. Nonetheless, he became active in the South African Congress of Democrats, also known as the SACD, which was a white organization established in 1952 to further the goals of universal franchise and equality. The organization's close ties with the African National Congress provided the ANC with a platform to reach whites through white messengers. The SACD was also part of the Congress Alliance, a coalition that was instrumental in the creation of the Freedom Charter at the 1955 Congress of the People in Soweto. Because he was banned, Joe Slovo wasn't actually able to attend the Congress, but he did watch the proceedings through binoculars from a nearby rooftop. In 1957, as a result of his work on the Freedom Charter, he, along with Mandela and many others, was arrested and charged with treason.
He later had a large role in MK as one of its primary commanders starting in about 1961. For the organization's nascent years, he often attended meetings of high command at Rivonia. Starting in 1963, Slovo went into exile, doing work abroad for the ANC and the Communist Party. In 1977, he established an operations center for MK in Mozambique. The first white South African to take a position of leadership in the ANC, Slovo was heralded as a hero by many in the black community and viciously demonized by white South Africa. He managed to transcend racial bounds in the fight against apartheid. As one black student activist commented in a 1985 interview, "Slovo is truly colorless. He's just Slovo." The seeming racial neutrality made Slovo an important symbol within the anti-apartheid movement, defying the oversimplified views of many black nationalists that whites were the enemy and had no place in the struggle against apartheid.
Proof of Slovo's influence on the opinions of black activists may be found in the ideological transformation of anti-apartheid leaders Nelson Mandela and Oliver Tambo, who in the late 1940s attempted to ban white communist participation in the ANC. 15 years later, these same men would uphold and defend the Congress's close ties with the party.
Dear friends, comrades, and fellow South Africans, I greet you all the name of peace, democracy, and freedom for all.
Mandela would go so far as to say, quote, "Communists were the only political group who were prepared to eat with us, talk with us, live with us, and work with us," end quote.
Speaking of Slovo specifically, Mandela described, "He knew when to compromise, yet he never compromised his principles. He was a militant, yet a militant who knew how to plan, assess concrete situations, and emerge with irrational solutions to problems."
While Tambo often called the ANC and the South African Communist Party the two pillars of our struggle, this radical ideological shift may in part be attributed to their close friendship and working relationship with Joe Slovo, who dedicated much of his time to promoting a non-racial anti-apartheid movement.
We are homeless, we moonlight sleeping on a